dedicated to trots racing. On Winners, welcome to Gatespeed.
And another edition of Gatespeed, a special one as we talk Group 1 racing out at Tabcorp Park, Melton, with the running of the Vic Cup, and the final field has now been announced as we welcome in Jason Bonington and Blake Redden. How are you, boys?
Very good, thanks, Nard. I'm up in Sydney at the moment. We're going to be filming in the gig in a few hours, and it's great to have the field at the draw, not too far away either. It will be crucial. I don't know what Baker's thoughts are. He's always been Lenny the Shark's biggest fan. I think if Lenny the Shark doesn't draw the second line, we are going to have a prohibitively short price favourite. So you never want the worst for a horse than a draw, Baker boy. But for the race, I just feel he has to draw the second row or he's going to win the event.
No, you're right. He's proven no good when he's drawn second rows before and had to do it tough. He's not the horse he is when he's in front, is he? So I'm joking. Of course I'm joking. It doesn't matter where he draws. He's going to start a short price favourite and he's going to win. But that doesn't mean there's not intrigue to the race, because I think there is still.
It's interesting. Blake, go through the final field for us if you can.
All right, we'll go in alphabetical order. The start up the top, Amaretto gets a run. Burn a Hole in My Pocket is in for Andy and Kate Gath. Code Black for Kevin Pizzuto. Galactic Star up or down from New South Wales. Lenny the Shark, Major Crocker. Mr. Mojito is there. Myfield Marshall, San Carlo gets a run. TCB McRae, Tiger Tara, Yaya's Hotspot, and the emergency is Flaming Flutter.
And the Barry draw, when will that be announced?
It's about 2:30 this afternoon, so it's a little later than usual. Of course, funeral of Brian Dobson today, so they've pushed that Barry draw back to give people a chance to hopefully get there still. But as I said, I don't think it'll be too crucial to the outcome of the race, Jace.
Yeah, well, you've gone off with a bit of humour, a bit of dry charisma there. That we know he's a very good horse when he draws the second line, but I'm just suggesting that from a betting perspective, Nards, it will change the organisation of the market. Interesting, it's rocked up here to Sky, and Greg Hayes said to me, no horse has won the Victoria Cup in the last 6 or 7 years from inside gate six, so it's often been, you know, an advantage to draw poorly, but this is a different kind of Victoria Cup. It is very, very good. But as we know, it's been the Cox Plate of harness racing when in a slightly different time slot. It's just a slightly different composition of the field, isn't it? So you wonder whether that early and mid-race pressure will be there. I think the other key horse where it draws is Tiger Tara. We saw those two horses carve each other up and Hector JJ get over the top of them in the Blacks of Fake up there in Queensland. So I think they're the two key horses in terms of where they draw. Lenny the Shark is, of course, the best horse in the race, and the Sydney side of Tiger Tara.
Yes, it's an intriguing race for so many reasons. Guys, I gather that you're all in the corner of Lenny, but what other insight can you give us as far as those who are maybe looking a bit wider to play exotics in the final?
Look, Baker, the draws are going to be crucial for most of these horses. As we've mentioned, Lenny probably, you know, if he draws the front line, it makes it almost a fait accompli, but it's not going to really determine his chances exactly where he draws. Tiger Tara definitely will matter. If he draws in a position where he can't be in front of Lenny the Shark in transit, well, his winning hopes become negated. Myfield Marshall's a horse who's probably better off the speed. It's actually more about tempo and tactics for him necessarily, I think, than where he draws. And then you've got a couple of other horses, I guess, in the mix there who need the frontline draws, particularly very good frontline draws. I speak particularly of a horse probably like Major Crocker, who's so much better when he's able to get to the pegs in front or get to the pegs in front and maybe hand up to a Lenny the Shark to give him a chance of running a drum. What are the crucial things you'll be looking for at 1:30 or 2 o'clock when the draw comes out?
Well, there are three or four horses that it's very important for. As you say, Major Crocker, one of those can definitely run a place, but I think that a horse like Amaretto is going to be really dangerous if she sits off the speed and they go quickly. I think Myfield Marshall is key, and then maybe a TCB McRae as well if they do go really quickly. So it's going to be a really interesting race shape, and the barrier draw will have some effect on that. But what do you think about the field, Jace? There's obviously some really high-quality horses that have missed out on getting a run.
Yes. Yeah, there are. I think it's been I think Robert Walls was on the handicapping panel, youth policy. Inexperience counts, because I think, you know, I've been out there a couple of times on social media as suggesting that horses like Messini and Flaming Flutter have been around for a very long time at a very high level. Flaming Flutter, multiple Inter-Dominion place getter, South Australian Cup winner, Terrain Cup winner last season. So he's got the runs on the board. You've got a horse like Messini who's run massive races, fifth or sixth in the New Zealand Cup, second to Arden Rooney in a Kaikoura Cup, Group 1 winner early in his career. So those horses, for their body of work, I think can feel a little aggrieved, or the connections can not to be in the mix. Flaming Flutter is, of course, emergency in this Victoria Cup field. There are a couple of surprises. I'm also on record, and I think we're contrasting a little bit on this. I do not rate the Sydney form very highly at all. I think Code Black, you just have to look back only when he was last in Victoria, finished third in the Crown Final behind Don't Hold Back. I don't think Don't Hold Back would have been considered for a spot in the Victoria Cup. So Code Black, who he's comfortably beaten in that Group 2 race on Super Sunday, gets a run because he's gone up to Sydney and beaten who I think are inferior horses on a couple of occasions. And Galactic Star's also been a little bit fortunate for Minor Horse, who was not a high-profile horse over in the West, came over to Sydney. And once again, I think they've been beneficiaries of the fact that the racing's not overly strong in Sydney. But look, they have got the score on the board in terms of winning those Group 3 races with their free-for-alls being worth $30,000. And the surprise packet this morning, I think, for mine and for a lot of people, was Burnt Hole in My Pocket. Was he the most surprising inclusion for you?
Yeah, he was. I must admit, I thought Galactic Star and Burn a Hole in My Pocket were the two that were the luckiest to get in. But this was always going to happen. We knew this sort of 4 or 5 days ago with the field that was starting to put itself together. There was going to be some connections that were going to feel aggrieved or disappointed given how strong the field was. But, yeah, no, I agree. Burn a Hole in My Pocket, despite going really well recently, my Kiwi mate ran past him in a Breeders' Crown free-for-all last start and won a Bendigo Cup last season, ran second to Lenny in the Kilmore Cup. Burnt Hole in My Pocket's won a couple of free-for-alls, but I'd suggest that Messini, Flaming Flutter and my Kiwi mate would all feel a little bit disappointed to be behind him. But in saying that, the two free-for-alls that Burnt Hole in My Pocket did win were pretty strong. So you could build a case pretty much any way you wanted to look at it, and this is the way that it's all fallen, isn't it?
I think 18 or 19 horses, I reckon, Nards, at some point would have been somewhere in the mix. I mean, you could probably lock away, let's say, 8. And then the bottom 4 spots, I think, have been fought out between up to 10 horses or so. So the reality is, as I tweeted last night, there's only 12 spots for these horses, and it doesn't matter what major race or what code it is, there's always going to be unlucky runners. It just seems a little bit more depth at that bottom end, that peloton this year. You would have thought the race coming down to a $200,000 event might have made it easy to pick the field, but it's actually made it harder because those week-to-week solid solid citizens free-for-allers are all in the mix. Normally, I guess, they might not be fighting for a spot. They'd be on the cusp or missing out on the race, whereas now you're dealing with sort of 10 horses with varying things in their favour. As I say, a really good body of work for horses like Flaming Flutter, and also, and you know, my Kiwi mate Messini, compared to horses who are terrifically in form at the moment, and even a horse like, you know, Major Dent, who I've got a huge opinion of. I think if this race is in the same time slot in 12 months, he could be a real contender, but he just doesn't have that body of work behind him at the moment to get a run. So some unlucky connections, but it's a terrific field nonetheless.
No doubting that. Well, let's talk about some of the things that we've learnt over the past week. Lenny lets down to stamp himself on the Vic Cup.
He was just sharp, wasn't he?
Yeah, we sort of lamplighted this, and it was really strange, Baker. I guess it wasn't strange in a sense that he drifted just close to the race out to sort of 210, 220, because there is that feeling, and there always is when he's first up in a preparation, as he gets older and you think about all the injury issues that he's gone through and the brutal wars that he's contested over his career. Is this the time now we're going to start to see the deterioration of the great Lenny the Shark? But the truth is, he's never actually given you any real pragmatic reason to doubt him. No matter what kind of preparation he's leading into a first-up run, he always performs superbly well. And as we mentioned a couple of times in the lead-up to the Smoking Up, he was the champion, the rest of them very nice horses, trying desperately to get to anything like his level. So I think the most surprising thing was how easily he won. As you were just about to say, he was very, very sharp.
He was, and it's quite funny because if you look at the Smoking Up sprint a couple of seasons ago, he did an almost identical thing. I know he sat off a hot speed that night, but he was first up from a break, I believe, and he just had that really strong turn of foot. I mean, he's gone home in 26.5, so look, he can only improve off that, I guess. What we haven't seen is him get into a war this preparation, but given what he did at the back end of his last preparation, there's little reason to doubt why he couldn't be involved in that and still be really strong this time in. So no, I was quite taken with the win, and it pretty much sealed the Victoria Cup in my eyes, but more, we'll tell more in the next 7 or so days.
Definitely. Ball big, but Vic Cup off the agenda.
Yeah, well, this is Chicago Bull on the weekend. It was a really exciting race, and probably something we could delve into a little bit more at some point. I'm not sure exactly how you feel about it, Jace, but 800-metre tracks I know a lot of people don't love them, but they just they provide that excitement, don't they? And that's certainly the case in Gloucester Park, and you even see it at Mildura at times. But it was an exciting race. Shandell led, got the job done. Soho Tribeca was a massive run, and Chicago Bull, similarly, very, very big run. But he won't come to the Victoria Cup, as we already know, having announced the field. That was sort of tentatively booked in, didn't work out. But in terms of an Inter-Dominion bond, provided he pulls up well, he's clearly one of the top two or three seeds from Perth heading into it still, isn't he?
Yeah, look, I've been on record of saying this many times. I don't think it's got a hell of a lot to do with the 800-metre track. I know some people will purport that fact, but I really think it's a pure attitudinal thing. So for some reason, and we don't know, you can test the water, you can get the Geiger counter out, why the drivers in Perth are... There's just such aggression in the way they go about it. There doesn't seem to be anything polite about A-class racing in Perth. Sometimes in Victoria, we know, we have some magnificent racing, but occasionally it can be just a little bit too polite. Certainly Victoria Cups aren't like that, but we've seen probably, I reckon, in the last 3 years, I would say if you named your top 10 races for the last 3 years, seven or eight of them would have come from those big Perth features, WA Cups and Inter-Dominions, and of course that JP Stratton Cup the other night. So I just think it's the attitude of the drivers. But more to the point, we're skipping over the big cup, obviously, because Chicago Bull's not coming, but I wouldn't mind your thoughts on the prices for the Inter-Dominion. So Chicago Bull's $6. Soho Tribeca, who I spoke to Kim Prentice, who trains and drives Soho Tribeca, he said this is the best, that was the best performance of a horse he's ever been involved with. Now, you've got to remember, he was the man behind Baltic Eagle. So this is a big, big call. Soho Tribeca's $14. He's more than double the price of Chicago Bull. Surely that can't be right.
No, it's not. It's absolutely not. And I've got a lot of time for Soho Tribeca and what he has done in the last 6 months. He just continues to get better. He's a really, really nice horse. So I know it's probably a little bit controversial, but I'd nearly have him in front of Chicago Bull when it comes to the Inter-Dominion series. I think from what we've seen of him, he's going to lap up those three runs in quick succession into the final. And, yeah, he couldn't be going much better. Do you agree that maybe he is Perth's top seed, Soho Tribeca?
I don't think there's much between them. I think they're very different types of horses. The thing that you know about Soho Tribeca is, as Kim said to me, he's going to, you know, it seems like you're jumping the gun a little bit. He was talking about the final and 2 miles and how that's going to suit Soho Tribeca, and you can't help but think it will. And the fact that he's come through these two runs so well, he was, it has to be said, a slightly bigger performance than Chicago Bull the other night. Chicago Bull, as we know, is probably going to be best suited sitting off the speed. They call him Mini Quinny for a reason, because he's got that great sustained turn of speed from back in the field. But you only have to look at them physically to know that Soho Tribeca's got that capacity to go through the brutality of a particularly hard run on the speed and still be there, whereas Chicago Bull's only he'd be half the size of Soho Tribeca. He needs a couple of different things to go his way. He's the faster of the two horses. I'm not sure where I'd rank them between each other, Nards, but I would say that if you're a futures punter, I'm not a massive futures punter, but if you are, I'd be taking the $14 right now about Soho Tribeca, because by the time we get around to that series, he's going to be a lot shorter.
Also, the Inter-Dominion set to return to Victoria.
Yeah, this is relatively relatively old news, probably 6 or so days old, but still worth talking about. There's going to be a rotation 3 years, it looks like, with Victoria first, then Sydney, and off to Alexandra Park after that, which I think is a, you know, it's a really good story, Bon. It'll be terrific if we can have the Inter-Dominion back here.
Oh, I'll be beside myself. You know, we both love a trip, Baker, but I'd very much like to have it on my home soil, the Inter-Dominion. It is my favourite series of all series, and the great iconic... Well, the most iconic brand, I think, in Australasian harness racing. So, number one, great that it lives on, because with Perth not being in a tender this time, I guess there was a chance that we'd at least go through another Inter-Dominion sabbatical, but where there wouldn't be a race. But I'd like your thoughts, Baker, if you've heard any whispers on the ground, that the three jurisdictions who are all combining for this bid, and they are Victoria, New South Wales and New Zealand, whether they're going to add on a provision for the Inter-Dominion Trotters series to come back as part of this rebirth of the Inter-Dominion. I would absolutely love to see that. That's not to denigrate what the great Southern Star has done, but I do think there's been a void without an Inter-Dominion series for the Trotter. Is there any talk that might be coming in as part of the package?
Well, I think I read that in one of Mick Guerin's articles. Michael Guerin may have written that it's a possibility. So whether that happens in Victoria and Sydney or it doesn't get up until maybe Alexandra Park, I'm not sure. But I guess it's somewhere in the mix.
Let It Ride kicks off Aussie campaign with an impressive win.
I'm getting a little bit excited about this horse. I only have one run in Australia, Baker, and I don't need to beat Montreux Nicky, but I'll tell you what, Montreux Nicky's a pretty nice horse. C2 to C3 at its first run in Australia. We know Tim Butt is making a full-time move to Sydney, and I'd be nearly surprised if this horse can't be sort of head towards the Chariots of Fire. That's how highly I rated it. It went back through all of its replays in New Zealand. Its first four wins, which is staggeringly good. It's got incredible speed, and it's got an element of strength as well. I think with natural development, it's a very inexperienced horse. It can be targeting the very biggest races around, and it wouldn't even be bad a throw at the stumps if Tim Butt does. I know. I think this is about 50-50, maybe 60-40 for them to take Myfield Marshall over to Perth for the Inter Dominion Series. Wouldn't you love to take this horse over and give it a crack against, not Chariots of Fire standard four-year-olds over there for some of their big features, the Golden Nugget and co, because I definitely think going forward he's a group horse in the making.
For sure, and before we quickly get to our interview, just wanted to give an ode to Ain't That Right Macca for his win on the weekend. He'll go into the Bill Collins now, and Michael Gadsden and Denby Wade have done a terrific job with him, Nard, so he was a good winner on the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. Well, those are some of the things that we've learnt over the past week. We've got Beck Bartley with us as our key interview today, who, of course, is driving San Carlo in the Vic Cup. How are you, Beck?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm all right. Look, it just must be great to have an association with a horse like this. He's got more ones next to his name than anything else, and he's still on the rise.
He is. It's a great thrill to be associated with him, and we're just that over the moon and excited to be able to have a horse contend in races like Victoria Cup and hopefully Inter Dominion.
Beck, did you have a few nervous moments waiting for the field to come out? I think, really, if you go back in hindsight, he was never going to miss a run in the Victoria Cup. But with so many horses, of similar ability all going in, trying to get some of those last six or seven that aren't occupied by horses like Lenny the Shark and Myfield Marshall, was there any little thought in the back of your mind we may not get a run here?
Yeah, definitely crossed all of our minds, really. We were sort of talking about this morning and thinking those horses probably deserve a run before us, but he definitely has earned his spot there, and there were a few nervous moments for a little while.
Beck, given his record, he continues to win. I think we've seen now, though, that he can line up at this level. The Breeders' Crown free-for-all, his run was huge. What did you make of that run, and does it give you good confidence heading into the weekend?
No, we were over the moon with his run. He just dug deep in that, and to he come out of the gate and then had to go through Wives from the Bell and only just getting pipped by PBC McRae, but we were just that happy with him.
And now it's very hard, I guess, to do this, Beck, particularly with a horse who's had a long ongoing preparation with just little breaks in between, but he's done the other night beating Moonrock. I thought was terrific. The time was sensational, 54.6. But I guess going into a big cup, you've got to go to another level again. How much improvement do you think there will be from that run in Saturday night?
I think there'll be a lot of improvement. Like, even his work at home, just from that run, he's has just been a lot stronger. I couldn't believe his workout the other day was just, I couldn't believe he'd done it. But I think that run has helped him a lot, and the free-for-all run helped him a lot too.
Beck, what does an ideal Victoria Cup look like on Saturday night? Would you like to probably be in front, I guess, but are you happy if you're off speed and they go quickly and you can come with one run at them? Would you like to put him into the race at some stage? What do you think is going to be best for him, and how do you see the race panning out, obviously, before the barrier draw?
It will all depend on the barrier draw, but, I'd like to be, if there's a lot of speed early, and then we could come one run, but it just all depends on what the barrier draw and where all the other horses sit. But we've got to keep in mind that these are top horses and Grand Circle horses, and they've had more experience than what he has. So we've got to keep that in the back of our mind as well. But no, I think if they can go hard early, we can just have one last run of them, it'd be good.
Beck, before we let you go, last question. You've half sent shivers down my spine telling me how much he's improved, by the way, since our last run. I'm getting more emotional as I get older. The thought that he's gone to another level since then is it's exciting to say the least, especially when you've had a couple of shekels on him. But I guess the one question mark that some on the outside have about him is his absolute top-end speed. Now, you think in these ground circuit races it's going to suit him even better because it's not necessarily always about just how quickly you can go at your fastest, but how long you can sustain it for. But is that your little query still with him in terms of these really good races, that if it turns into a, you know, you get a cart into the race and you have to run past another very, very fast horse, do you think he's got that spectacular 400-metre burst of speed in him to win a race coming off the speed?
I think he does. In his last few runs, he's probably shown a lot more speed than what we thought he had. So, you know, I remember one night he ran his last quarter off. He was 4 or 5 off the track and he ran his last quarter in 26.9. So I think, yeah, definitely, if he gets the right card into it, I definitely think he can, yeah.
You've driven in some big races before, Beck. Any nerves heading into this for Victoria Cup? It's obviously his biggest test, but I'm sure you have confidence in him. Are you nervous or you're pretty happy heading in?
Pretty happy so far, but I'm sure as the week goes on, the nerves will kick in. But no, we're just that excited to be able to be part of it all, and we're just enjoying the ride. So I'm sure the nerves will kick in.
We appreciate your time this morning, Beck. Just enjoy the week.
Thank you.
There we have it, Beck Bartley on the Victoria Cup. Guys, we've pretty much run out of time. Look forward to hearing the latest barrier draw this afternoon, but it's going to be an intriguing race, and we'll be covering off with you two throughout the week on Winners.
Cheers, Nard.
Can't wait.
There's Jason Bonington and Blake Redden.